This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Now, if I say to you, I love you, I'm not saying that doesn't mean anything to you. But if I say to you, I love you, but I never do anything that shows that, then it just becomes a bunch of empty words. But we could show love and never say it, and a person would know that they were loved. Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So we have love in us. It's a fruit of the Spirit that comes into us when we're born again, but it comes as a seed. You know, you have muscles. You may not look like it, but you got them. Maybe nobody can see them, but they're there. And the only way anybody is ever going to see them is if you exercise them. Well, love is not going to grow if you don't exercise it. Kindness won't grow if you don't exercise it. Humility won't grow if you don't exercise it. And so the more we do what God asks us to do, you know, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. I know you can open that Bible, and if you're like me, you got a lot of stuff underlined. Well, that don't mean we know anything. And aren't we proud when the pastor says, I'm going to preach on 1 Corinthians 13 today, and you open your Bible, you got the whole thing underlined and highlighted in yellow. And don't you secretly hope the person sitting next to you notices how spiritual you are? Come on. We do. You can color in your whole Bible. I can give you a box of crayons, and you can sit there and color in your whole Bible all weekend, and that doesn't mean you know anything. How do you know when you know something? When you're doing it. Only when you're doing it. I know the power of forgiveness when I'm doing it. I know the power of prayer when I pray about things instead of worrying about them. I know the power of giving when I give. Joshua 1:8, way over in the very beginning of the Old Testament, says, meditate on the word of God day and night that you might observe and do according to all that's written therein. For then you shall deal wisely, make your way prosperous, and have success. But see, we want to have the prosperity and success and skip the doing. And you can't do that. We're partners with God, and God has made 7,000 promises to us in the Word of God, but there is something for us to do. I marvel at the fact that when Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead, he told the people to roll away the stone. Now, let me ask you, if you're getting ready to raise a dead man, why would you need people to roll away the stone? Why not just blow that baby out of there? Because they had to use their faith. See, God only moves through our faith. The devil moves through our fear, and God moves through our faith. And faith is a force on the inside of us, but it must be activated. And the way we activate it is through praying, through saying, and through doing. When I say I trust God, I'm releasing my faith. When I pray instead of worrying, I'm releasing my faith. And when I go roll away the stone because God said to, I'm releasing my faith. We have to start doing what God tells us to do. Well, it's just so hard. It's just so hard. No, being disobedient is hard because then your life is a mess. Come on, I've been at this 45 years. I've tried it every way that you can try it. And the only way that you're going to end up with what God wants you to have is to do what he tells you to do. I'm so glad I haven't forgotten how to preach. I love you more. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude and unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Now that's good. We just read all the stuff about love. But now we're going to have to spend the weekend taking it apart. Because these are the things that love is seen through. Love is seen through being patient with somebody else's weakness. They feel loved when instead of making them feel stupid, the new clerk at the grocery store. She's nervous. It's her first day. This was me 45 years ago. Come through, got my big rhinestone Jesus pin on. Any of you ever have one of those? Those were big and mighty, big rhinestone Jesus pin. And of course, I was in a hurry because I needed to get home and pray. And so there's no price on this item, and she's getting all mixed up, and she runs out of tape in her register, and she's a nervous wreck, and, you know, here I am. Now that is not love, because that is not patient, and that is what makes people not like Christians. Because I had my Jesus pin, but I was making her feel awful. Now love, you don't have to wear the pin. Love is to say, don't worry about it. Just take your time. You're doing good. We've all been new at things. You're going to do great. And then it's to pray for her. When you leave, you pray for her that she'll do good at that job, that she'll learn quickly. Quickly. We were in a restaurant one night after I had done a conference, and I was tired. I'd done 4 or 5 sessions. I used to be like a nutcase and probably prayed for everybody in the building. And we went out to eat, and we made a reservation. And then when we got there, they told us they didn't take reservations. It's like, well, why did you take ours if you don't take reservations? So we had to wait 45 minutes to get a table, and there was a whole bunch of people with us. We had probably 12 people with us, so we had this big table. And this girl comes and takes our order, and she seemed a little nervous, but she took the order, and we gave her drink orders. And so she comes back with this big tray, and there wasn't much room between the table and the wall, and she dumped the whole thing on Dave. Coke, water, iced tea, all down his suit. He was so kind. He said, it's not a problem. Don't worry about it. She went off crying. She came back and her eyes were all red. Dave went and got the manager and said, I don't want her to get in trouble. It wasn't her fault. It's too crowded in here. She looked across the table at me and she said, I know who you are, and I was so nervous because I was waiting on you. And I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that I didn't act like an idiot. See, God told me, don't ever forget, Joyce Meyer, that however many people you can help, that's exactly how many you can hurt. That's why you don't need to be up here if you're not going to live the life. And that doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. But I'm talking about this nonsense of living a double life. Preaching to people and then not doing what you tell them. Henry Drummond wrote a book called The Greatest Thing in the World. And it's only about that thick. And I want to encourage you to get a copy of that book. You can order it online. I've got a real old copy. It was written in the 1800s, and this one looks like it might have come from there. But I just bought several new copies. I wanted to give all my kids one, and I gave Dave one, and man, he has got some one-liners in there. They're just wonderful. And here's one of the things that he said. He says, it is better not to live than to live and not love. Wow. So, that's page one. I did an extra message all day. I worked all day yesterday, and I did an extra message because I thought I wouldn't have enough stuff. I'm so funny. Jesus said, John 13:34-35, one new commandment I give unto you. One. Love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. He said, in this one commandment, you fulfill all the law and all the prophets. And they had thousands of laws in the Old Testament. He said, all you got to do is love. If you love, you won't sin against anybody. You won't hurt anybody. You won't be jealous of them. You'll forgive them. Honestly, I mean, if we didn't study anything but love the rest of our life, we'd be okay. Because all the rest of it would just come. Matthew 22, 37 through 39, they asked Jesus, which one of your commandments is the heaviest? Which one's the most important? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor even as you love yourself. See, you're even supposed to love yourself in a balanced, not a selfish, like, oh, I'm so wonderful. But you're supposed to love yourself because God loves you. And you haven't really received God's love until you love yourself. Love the you that God created. The you that you're becoming. In 1 Timothy 1:5, I love this. Timothy said, the purpose of my instruction, all these things I'm teaching you, is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. So he said, that's the whole deal. I'm going to say it again. We should study love, pray about love, practice love, know scriptures on love. But study stuff you need. I mean, it's okay to like read the Bible through every year if that's what you want to do, or just getting in the Bible and seeing how much you can read every day. I don't really know how much good that does anybody. I think we need to study in areas where we have weaknesses and issues and problems. I think we spend too much time trying to fix the problem and not enough time on the answer. We go about it backwards. You know, if we have a bad habit, we try to break the bad habit, and what we should do is form a good habit, and then the bad habit won't have any room in our life. Loving people who are hard to love. You know, there's a lot of stuffed animals, but I've never bought one of my kids or grandkids a stuffed porcupine. I didn't even think they existed, but I looked online and sure enough, they're there. But I watched a special on porcupines, and they have 30,000 quills that come out. But believe it or not, once a year, a male and a female porcupine manage to get together. But the woman is in charge. She's like, if I say no, it's no. Or out comes the quills. All 30, I read it. I'm not making this up. Okay. Love can only be known from the actions that it prompts. God's love is seen in the gift of his son. Now, if I say to you, I love you, I'm not saying that doesn't mean anything to you. But if I say to you, I love you, but I never do anything that shows that, then it just becomes a bunch of empty words. But we could show love and never say it, and a person would know that they were loved. We have to start doing. But whose job is it? Well, here's a story I heard years ago about four people named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job, and everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. In the end, everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. How many times do we say, they need to do something about that? Who are they? Well, they need to do something about that. This nebulous they. They say what colors you can wear together, and they say, and they say. We let they run our lives, and we don't even know who they are. But just from now on, just, you know what? I've just got so much to say. You know, I was praying one time for God to help somebody. And he said, will you stop asking me to do things that you could easily do and just don't want to? God, they need a new mattress. They're sleeping on the floor. Lord, would you provide a mattress? Yes, I certainly will, through you. Just get your little she money out of your billfold. Come on, how many of you have she money? Yes, so you don't know what that is? That's money you hide. Dave has he money and I have she money. Well, I used to have she money. Now I actually keep money in my wallet all the time, tucked in a certain place just to give to people if I run into somebody that needs help. You got to do this on purpose, and you got to be prepared. My daughter was in the grocery store, and she realized she left her wallet in the car. And so she said to the checker, oh, my gosh, I left my wallet in the car. I'll run out and get it, be right back. The checker said, no. I'll take care of it. She whips her credit card out of her pocket, pays for my daughter's groceries. And I thought, that lady carries that credit card all the time because that's a great way for her to help people who don't have enough money to pay for their groceries or who forget their wallet. She was prepared. And see, that's why a lot of times we don't do anything because we're not prepared. Well, I'm prepared. I got money hidden for it. And I set aside a certain amount of money every month over my tithe and my regular giving just to do things for people. And everybody you do something for doesn't have to be flat, broke, and going down the drain. Sometimes somebody you would consider rich needs a blessing more than somebody you would consider poor, because rich people, everybody's after them to get something. Amen? I mean, I know wealthy people that can't even go to church because they said everybody just wants something. Gimme, 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 gimme. I tell you what, I have found a new way of living. And I've been at it now for a few years, and I'm liking it more and more all the time. Whose job is it? It's your job. It's my job. And nothing in our country is going to change until we all realize it's all of our jobs.
In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. He made that so clear. He said it over and over. What do? We love one another. But you see, loving people who love us, that is easy. But where it gets difficult is loving people that are not so easy to get along with, those difficult people. You have to love them on purpose, and you have to be prepared to be able to do that. We all need help in these areas. So to prepare us to love the unlovely, Joyce has written a new book, and this book is coming to us at the perfect time. It's called Loving People Who Are Hard to Love. Can you think of any better time than right now, when the world is just in constant disagreement, when people are very difficult to get along with? There's so much anger in the world. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's on social media. I don't know, but we all are dealing with it. This book digs into the other words of Jesus, how he lived. It encourages us with really practical ways to handle difficult relationships and to love better. So we want you to have this book. We are offering it to you today for your gift of any amount. And remember, whatever you give not only gets you this book, but it also supports all of the outreaches of Joyce Meyer Ministries, this program that you're watching right now. So it's another great way to love people. Get the help that you need. Reach out today and grab this book. We love you. We'll see you next time.
We have four boys, so our house is very busy, never a dull moment. See, my two older boys, they get along most of the time, but there was a season where they were just getting on each other's nerves, and just there was like battles, I felt like, all the time. Well, I know in my own life the importance of God's word and what a difference it makes. So when we started school this year, I decided that that's what I want our day to start with, is being in the Word of God. And so we've tried a bunch of different devotionals. I feel like a lot of them were either written more for adults or for really little kids, until we got The Best Day Ever. The boys understand what it's saying, and it's very like easy to apply to whatever's happening in our daily life. I would say probably after a week of doing it, I noticed, I'm like, hey, there's not as much bickering going on. Like, they're being kind to each other. And so just being in the Word of God made a huge difference.
If you are a medical care professional, we need your help. In fact, people all over the world need your help. And it's an opportunity that will change your life as well. You see, through our volunteer medical trips, we travel all over the world to places that are very remote and have desperate need of health care. So go to our website, check out the schedules, and join us right here. We hope to see you soon.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.